So what I'd like to do, we don't have too much time today because we're going to have our prayer in front of the Blessed Sacrament in a few minutes. So I'd like to jump right away to our class today, and then we'll go through the requirements. So I think let's go right away to the page where you see it says, "Welcome Confirmation Students." Do they all have a pencil? They probably have a pencil? Okay.
Who does not have something to write with?
Okay, so you turn to the page where it says, "Welcome Confirmation Students." Okay. You could sit, if you could sit right here, that'd be good. Thank you. Okay, so you can open up to the page where it says, "Welcome Confirmation Students." Okay, you have been called to a personal relationship with God. Are you there? God has invited all of us into a close, intimate relationship with Himself. He wants us to enter into that relationship now while we live on earth, although the relationship will not be perfectly realized until heaven. But how do you go about a personal relationship with God? What does it even mean to have a personal relationship with God? What does that look like? The answer to those questions comes to us through a person, and that person is Jesus Christ. So below are questions that we would like to answer to help us to get to know you better. And the answer to question number 6 has been provided for you. Okay, so number 1. Okay, do you have a personal relationship with God? Okay, I'm going to explain this in a way that all of you understand. And it's this way. Okay, friendship. So write down friendship. Friendship. So what I'd like to do is write down qualities in this number 1 of qualities of establishing a friendship. And then I'm going to try to transfer this, my friendship with someone that you know, that's your friend, and try to apply that to your relationship with God. Okay. One of the greatest saints in the Catholic Church, her name is Saint Teresa of Avila, and she said that prayer is basically having a friendship, but having a friendship with God. So I'm going to write down about 5 different things, qualities of having a friend. And I'm sure all of you have had friends, and all of you probably have friends right now. And of course, you know, you can lose your friend. And of course, that's painful. You've got a really good friend, and something happens that the friendship ends, and we suffer. So having a friend is very, very important. It's more difficult today to have friends basically because of the electronics media. But when I was your age, I didn't like to go to school. I think all of you love to go to school, but I didn't like to go to school. But I loved to play with my friends. I mean, I would finish school and I'd be spending a couple hours outside playing baseball or football. I played a lot of sports, and having a lot of fun with my friends. So I really cherished my friends, and hopefully you have, and maybe you've got a really good friend now. So try to apply that to Christ as we write down the characteristics. Okay, you're probably going to have to write about 5 short sentences, okay? Okay, write down in small letters. Letter A is you have to spend time. You have to spend time with your friend. You have to spend time with your friend. If you don't spend time with your friend, you're never really going to cultivate a deep friendship. You got to give time. Got to give time, as well as quality time. Okay, so you got to give time. Okay, so second would be sharing common interests. Sharing common interests. If you try to establish a friendship with a friend and you don't like anything that this person likes and this person doesn't like anything that you like, you're probably not going to have a friendship. I think that's common sense, no? So, commonality of interests. Okay, the third quality would be try to avoid anything that's going to be damaging that friendship. So you know something that's going to hurt that friend, then simply don't do it. All right, another quality would be giving gifts. If you give a gift, that is a sign of the fact that you care for the person. I'm saying things that are probably obvious to you, no? If you give a gift, that means you care for that person. And the more precious the gift, the more you're showing love for the person that you want to establish a friendship for. On a human level, Thomas Aquinas says the deepest friendship should be between the husband and the wife. Okay, on a human level. That's why if you want to marry a guy or a girl, you know, you're not going to go to 99 cents and buy a ring from 99 cents, right? Or 98 cents, no? You're going to be saving up and maybe get a diamond ring that's worth a couple million bucks, a couple thousand bucks, not million. No? So you're saving up so you're able to buy not from 99 cents. Who cares about that? But you're saving up to buy a really precious 5-carat ring. And you give it to your future girlfriend or boyfriend you're going to marry until death do you part. So a willingness to give gifts. Okay, I'm going to tell you what is possibly the most difficult thing, but the most profound manifestation of friendship. And it's this. Write it down. You're willing to suffer for your friend. Easier said than done, huh? You're willing to suffer for your friend. Okay, you're teenagers, and what I'm going to say, you're not going to like to hear what I'm going to say, but it's true. Who is the person you know that loves you most? I know it. You don't want to admit it. Hey, it's my mother. I know that. My mom with the 9 kids, 39 grandchildren. My mom has suffered a lot. Now that she's 91, she's suffering more because her health isn't that good. I know my mother loves me. I know that. I know it. And teenager, you don't want to admit it. But you know in the depths of your heart, you know that your mother loves you. And your father, too. You know it. I mean, you teenager don't want to admit it. And even when your parents have to correct you, you get really angry. You ever think, maybe they're correcting you because they don't want you to hurt yourself? You ever think about that? Why does a mother say to your 5-year-old little brother or sister, don't play with matches? Because your mother's trying to invade the freedom of your little brother that's 5 years old, evading his freedom, right? No, because you play with matches, what's going to happen? You're going to get burnt. Probably happened to all of us, huh? And your mom said, don't play with matches, you're going to get burnt. You got burnt, you were crying, I told you so. So she said that not because she didn't want you to get hurt, so you could avoid getting hurt. Okay, so you wrote down those. Jack, do me a favor, could you read through what we wrote? Look at the qualities of a friendship. You can just sit down. Read through the qualities.
Spend time with your friend. Share common interests. Avoid anything damaging to your friendship. Giving gifts. Willing to suffer for your friend.
Good. Okay, I'd say one last thing. One last thing. I'm going to tell you about the two hardest words for us to say. For me, too. Because we all have a little bit of pride. I do, and you have pride. We all have pride. Pride in the negative sense of the word. Are you listening? It's hard to say I'm sorry. Right? Hello? Anyone there? It's hard for me. I make a mistake. Oh, boy, I have to... But we have to learn how to say, I'm sorry. We have to learn how to say, I'm sorry to God. We have to learn how to say, I'm sorry to our mom or dad. And if you hurt your friend, hey, you know, I had a bad day. And I didn't sleep. I got a stomachache. I just had a lousy day. And what I said to you yesterday, I'm sorry. I was not feeling good. I'm sorry. Hey, those words are beautiful. Those words are beautiful. Because that's humility. That's humility. It's hard for me to say I'm sorry. And probably it's hard for you to say you're sorry. And once it's said, God is very pleased. And that the person that you say I'm sorry to you hears that, that person should be very impressed and say, I forgive you. Just like that. Right? Hard words to say. Okay, so what you want to do now is apply those short phrases to your relationship with Jesus Christ. Okay, you're entering the confirmation today. You're going to see it's going to go by very quickly. And we don't have too many classes. But I had a conversation with two other people. I'm online every day at 2 o'clock, and we had a really good conversation. And we prayed for all of you today. And well, you know, Rose and Jeremy, what I'm trying to arrive at for many years is to help all of you to understand that God really loves you very much. Do you hear me? Maybe you've heard that before, but in everything I'm going to be teaching you this year, maybe even next year, I don't know if you're going to be with me next year, but what I'm really aiming at, with the help of Jeremy and Rosa, we're aiming at to try to help you to understand that God really loves you. You hear me? Okay. I think you've heard this before. I think you have. But look, you know the biggest distance of travel in our life? I'll tell you. It's about 8 inches from your head to your heart. You hear me? You go from your head to your heart, those 8 inches. Maybe it'd be, if you've got a big head, maybe it's 10 inches, okay? Going from here to here, man, that's a long distance. And with the help of the Holy Spirit, we're going to hope that... So everything we're going to be saying this year, if you can arrive in April or May, whenever we finish, you can arrive and say, you know, Mom, I didn't always want to go to confirmation class because I felt I had other important things to do. But, you know, I stuck it out. And I really realized what Father said that first day. I really believe that God loves me. Huge success. Huge success. And once you understand that, not simply intellectually, but affectively in the depths of your heart, your life is going to change. A lot of the worries and fears that we have, they're going to go up like smoke. If I recognize that God really loves me. And the beauty is this. Even if you fail 1,000 times a day, God still loves you. Doesn't that blow your imagination to think about that? If you fall 1,000 times a day. 1,000. 2,000 times a day. God still loves you. And I'm not exaggerating. It's true. He loves you. And to get to the essence of what we're writing, really the essence of true friendship is you're aiming at really loving that person on a deep level. So Jesus Christ loves you very much. Okay, we're talking, Father Larry wanted us to start off by talking about prayer. Probably 75% of my talks are related to prayer. Exercises, Marian devotion. 75% of what I've been teaching for many years is related to prayer. I'm going to teach you right now. Probably the most profound, pleasing prayer you can say. Are you listening? 4 words. It's this. Jesus, I love you. Can you tell me a more profound prayer than that? You know, when I receive communion, you see me sitting down for a long time. Oh, Lord, I love you. You say that to Jesus every night before I go to bed? Man, your faith is going to be growing. You just say that, Jesus and Mary, I love you. Those should be your last words every night. Okay, I know what you're thinking. Okay. Jack, you're a thinker. Well, he already knows it. Why do I have to say it? I mean, right? I mean, he knows it. He knows it. I talk to my mother on the phone about every other day. Her health is kind of struggling. And she'll always say, son, I love you. And then she'll sometimes say it back. Really? That is kind of brought up a little bit of a macho, no? It's difficult for me to say it. I just, the way I am, no? The German blood I have, no? Kind of like you, no? But she'll say, you know, I love you, and then I'm becoming more and more accustomed, and becoming more natural, no? She wants to hear it. She knows I love her. But she wants to hear it. So if you want to, you really want to grow in your Catholic faith this year, every night say, God, I love you. And maybe even before you go to bed, you might even say that to your mom and dad. They might have a heart attack. I don't know. Maybe, right? Say, Mom, I love you. She falls off the chair. I don't understand English, no? So that's the essence of these two years, is our religion, our Catholic religion, is a love affair. I've never been maudlin, sentimental, romantic, but I mean it is true that God is love. He loves us first. And he wants us to love him back. He wants to hear, hey, Lord, I love you. Lord, I love you. Okay, so there you have the characteristics of friendship with Christ. A few other things. Okay, number two in your sheet is, do you pray every day? Do you pray every day? And you can write down, you can write down, I'm going to try to, because maybe some of you don't pray every day. I'm going to try to. Okay, write down steel number two. Well, let's go to number three. Number three. Okay, how do you pray? Okay, write down this. You can pray, give you various ways that you can pray. You know, first of all, as we said, God, I love you, but also, there are other ways that you can pray. You can pray, write down vocal prayers. Okay, vocal prayers, V-O-C-A-L, vocal prayers. And put next to vocal prayers a colon, point, point. Next to vocal prayer would be the Our Father, the Hail Mary, the Glory Be. And pray vocal prayers. Okay, then write down next, below it, write down the word meditation. That's a good word, isn't it? Meditation. Meditation, you put maybe in parentheses, the Bible. And right down next to the Bible, meditation Bible, read think, and talk to God. Okay? A simple meditation formula, right? Read, think, and talk to God. So read through the Bible. You all have a Bible at home, I'm pretty sure. Read through it. Think, oh, what does this mean? Then talk to God. There, that's called meditation. It's not as hard as you think. Read, think, talk to God. It'd be great if you, every night for 10 minutes before we went to bed, open up the Bible. You all have your own Bible? Most of you. If you don't have your own Bible, ask your mom to buy you a Bible. Most of you are bilingual. Get one in English and Spanish. And start to read the Gospels. Matthew, Mark, Luke and John. Read, think, talk to God. Okay. Another way to pray is this. Have a beautiful picture. Do any of you have any pictures in your room? Like of Our Lady of Guadalupe or Jesus or St. Joseph? All have a picture? Okay. That's very helpful to have a nice picture in your room. Okay, this is another way to pray. You're in front of the picture that you like best. Look at Jesus and just tell him how your day went and tell him how you're feeling. He'll examine. Tell him how your day went. And tell him how you're feeling. And if you've had a tough day, we all have tough days. It's part of being human, no? Well, yesterday I had a bad day, but four or five things went wrong at the end of the day, no? It seemed like things were falling apart, no? I was able to pray last night, I went to bed and had a good night's rest, no? Being able to talk it out with God, no? So, talk things out with God. But I would say it's a good idea to talk. When you have like an image like this, this is the room that I use. I like this image. Isn't it beautiful? Immaculate Heart of Mary? That's one of the most beautiful Sacred Hearts I've ever seen. You know, beautiful pictures. So we're not Jehovah's Witnesses, are we? No? We're not Jehovah's Witnesses. We're not Mormons. We're not born again Christians. We're Catholics. So we believe in using these images to help us to pray. How can you possibly sit in front of this and not feel drawn to start to talk to Jesus? I think just by looking at it, it's almost as if you want to start to talk to him. Right? To have these beautiful pictures. We live in a world of Instagram and YouTube. We live in a world of images, no? You people live in a world of images. I lived in a world of books. Yeah, 50 years ago, like your father, a lot of reading, no? We live, also there are still books out there, but it's good that they use books, but also use the good images that are presented to us like these. How many of you are of Mexican descent? Almost all of you. 80%. Do you all have a beautiful image of Our Lady Guadalupe in your home? Can't imagine a Mexican not having a... Do you have a nice one there? A beautiful one? I hope you do. You look at Our Lady Guadalupe, it just inspires a lot of devotion, right? And if it weren't for Our Lady Guadalupe, you Mexican kids, you wouldn't be here. If it weren't for Our Lady of the Rosary, I wouldn't be here. So we're here because of Mary. Our Lady of Guadalupe, she's the one that converted the Mexicans. 1531. 30 years, 8 million converts. The greatest missionary after Jesus is the Blessed Virgin Mary, Lady Guadalupe. Can you imagine that? 30 years, 8 million converts. And these are your great-great-great-grandparents back in Mexico. Right? Maybe it's 7.5 or maybe 9, but more or less I've read 8 million converts in 30 years. That's incredible. So all of you having a Lady Guadalupe, she's just inviting you to talk to her. Prayer is the most, it's the easiest thing, but it's the most difficult. It's the easiest thing because you can pray any time, any place, any words. You can pray whenever you want. Whenever you want to talk to God, God is like this. But God is, I'm going to use the word in Spanish, es un caballero. Any of you know Spanish well? Do you know what caballero means in Spanish? Caballero? It's a good word. What is? How do you translate caballero in English? Now, I'm good at translating, huh? If you don't know, a gentleman, right? Like Rosa? He's a God is a gentleman. He's not going to force himself down your throat. Rather, he invites you to talk with him, but he's not going to force you to talk to him. You have to take the initiative. All right, so how do you pray? I've given you some ideas. I'd like to want to mention one more thing. Do any of you like nature? Well, the people live in cities, they don't appreciate nature. You like nature? Nature, the beauty of nature is a reflection of the Creator Himself. You can say beauty outside in nature. Behind that beauty in nature is God Himself. What do you like most in nature? And that's going to be a bridge to arrive at God. Yes. So you're taking a nature walk. You see beauty? Okay, behind that beauty is God Himself. Yes. Okay. Move on to the next question. Do you know how to pray the rosary? Okay. All of you are different. I know some of you know how to pray the rosary. Probably most of you know how to pray the rosary somewhat, but I know most of you and your parents. I know Joseph and Nick. Surely you know how to pray the rosary. I think most of you probably know how to pray the rosary. The rosary, it's a beautiful prayer. And as Jeremy said at the beginning, bring the rosary. They'll have a rosary, and that's going to be a gift, right? Make sure that you bring the rosary at the beginning of the class, and we'll be praying a part of the rosary. No? Okay. I don't do this too often, but I think that this is helpful, and it's not to inflate me on pride. But probably some of you know that I'm a professional writer, okay? So I write books, okay? Okay, what you might do is ask your mom to give you $15 and buy one of my books. And one of my books is on the rosary. If you buy that book, you will definitely learn how to pray the rosary. Amen? It took a long time. Any of you know how to write? Writing takes a long time. It takes a lot of effort. And getting a publishing house like Sophia or Tan, not easy, no? But if you don't know how to pray the rosary, I think that my book is probably one of the best books out there, which explains all the different mysteries And then in 2 days, Our Lady of Sorrows through the Seven Sorrows of Mary. And people get bored of praying the rosary because they don't know how to pray it. Right? It's like I was talking the other day with Nick about baseball. If someone comes from maybe Africa or another country and they go to see the Angels playing the Yankees, what the heck is happening here? People are running. That guy sliding into a base there, that pitcher's throwing the ball, looks like 98 miles per hour. What the heck is happening here? They're not going to like it because they don't know what baseball is like. It's kind of like that with the rosary. If you don't know what the mysteries are, it's almost like trying to follow a sport from a different country. You've never followed the sport. So once we get to know the rosary, we're going to love the rosary. So knowledge of Jesus and knowledge of his mother is going to bring us to love him. Because you can't love someone you don't know. It's common sense, right? You can't love someone you don't know. So your knowledge of the rosary, some of you more, some of you less. Okay, so we've arrived at number 5. Okay, does God love me? Spoke about that at the very beginning of the class, right? Okay, does God love me? And write down, yes. And write down next to that, always. Write down unconditionally. In all times, in all places, God always loves me. And finally, number 6, what does the Catholic Church stand for? The answer is, the Catholic Church stands for the God who is madly in love with you, who has a plan for you and wants you to be happy. The God who even sent his Son, Jesus Christ, to die for you, who wants, letter A, to forgive you, letter B, to help you in your life, and most of all, to enter into a personal relationship with you so that you can be with him forever in heaven. Amen? So the last point is very important, is that God wants you to enter into a deep relationship with him in this life. So that you'll be with God forever in heaven. That's why we're here. We're here to let God love us, to love God back, to grow in that love relationship. And if we grow in that love relationship in this life, when we die, we're going to go to heaven, where we're going to love God, the angels, the saints, and his mother for all eternity. So I'm going to pray that this is going to be the best year in their lives. I really believe God's going to hear my prayer. This is going to be the best year in your lives. And one last note, then we're going to church and say some prayers with a new pastor, is in 45 minutes in the big church, I'm going to be praying Mass. And you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to place all of you, as well as your parents, because your parents are going to be my students too, okay? I'm going to place all of you and place your parents on the altar when they celebrate Mass. And when I lift up the host, and I lift up the chalice, which is the body and blood of Christ, I'll be lifting all of you up to heaven so that you will experience how much God loves you. So that's my gift to you. Amen? The Lord be with you. May Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. So God bless you. And then we're going over to the church now, right? Any closing comments, Jeremy?
You only need the pencils back, and you can give the rosaries and everything else. And then for next week, just try to be here 10 minutes before class starts, so we can start praying the rosary.
Okay, a couple things before it starts getting too loud. So we're going to go over to the church. There's a few things I want you guys to do, please. Make sure your cell phones are on silent.